Japan Top 10. Hey guys, it's Ethel and Rekka, and today we're back with another Japan Top 10 Cultures episode, where we'll be diving into the world of Japanese and Japanese-inspired indie musicians with amazing interviews and songs from four past Japan Top 10 Indie Spotlight artists. Rekka and I will be discussing everything from inspirations to future plans with these talented musicians from all over the world. Today we are featuring Lina from Avocado Boys, Kufura, a DJ from Istanbul, Electronical, a current musician that's based in Japan, and Sugar Joyco, a very talented Texan band that's actually inspired by many Japanese musicians. Now before we get on to all the lovely interviews that we have for you on this episode today, I would just like to warn all our listeners that Rekka and I actually recorded all our interviews over Skype because myself and the other musicians and Rekka are all based in different time zones around the world, so this was the only way that we could communicate to each other and do the interviews. So for that, I really do apologize for the audio quality in this episode. Now, if you're not familiar with what Japan Top 10 Cultures is, it's actually an episode that Japan Top 10 has created where we feature our hosts, like Rekka and I, discussing a broad Japanese cultural theme, continuing on our mission of providing educational, entertaining, and insightful information to all our J-Top 10 listeners. These episodes are kind of different from our usual J-Top 10 episodes, which means that we are focusing more on the commentary rather than our usual music commentary format. We won't be replacing any of our current episode lineups with Japan Top 10 Cultures. This is just a pilot project to see whether you guys like this or not. So if you have any questions about these episodes or even feedback, please feel free to let us know. And heads up to everyone, this is still our Listener Appreciation Month, and we're continuing with more premium level episodes releases for all our listeners out there. And don't forget, you can still submit some song requests for this month's Listener Appreciation Month, regardless if you're a Patreon donor or not. And stay tuned, if you haven't heard yet, we are giving away a free 10,000 yen Japanese iTunes gift card. If you are a Patreon donor, you'll also be getting additional entries to win. Stay tuned for the rest of this episode where we'll be telling you details about how you can get that iTunes gift card. So if you're not familiar with indie music, it actually refers to any type of music that is produced independently from any large commercial label umbrellas, like Sony Japan, or AVAX, or Universal Music. And it's often referred to as DIY, gritty or less manufactured types of music. The indie music scene in Japan began closer to the end of the late 1990s, and though there were hints of it throughout the late 80s and early 90s, I think Shibuya K was the first inkling of the indie music scene of the time. Artists such like Cornelius encouraged artists to make music for themselves, not for their labels. Indie music gained popularity with the popularity of independent films, as many movies out there started to feature indie artists into their original soundtracks. And if you're not familiar with the independent music scene in Japan, it is very intimate, but it's also equally challenging, but it's extremely diverse, and the inclusivity of the entire scene makes it a thriving social institution. I really love the Japanese independent music scene, and with the advent of online streaming platforms like Spotify or Joox or YouTube, it's actually helped open doors to Japanese musicians, independent musicians especially, out there to know that, you know, don't limit yourself to just Japan. There are a lot of other musicians out there and a lot of people who would appreciate your kinds of music anywhere around the world. So in my first interview, I'll be interviewing Kufura, who is a producer and DJ based in Istanbul, Turkey. I would like all our listeners to know that this interview may contain some sensitive material that we'll be discussing, so feel free to skip or just continue listening with an open mind. So today I'm with Kufura, a producer and DJ based in Istanbul, Turkey, who started releasing music around 4 years ago. He collaborates constantly with other artists around the world and also produces and features or mixes a lot of his own music. Most recently, he has released a video for his song Don't Die on Me, which was filmed in Japan. So hi, Kufura. Welcome to J-Top 10.
Thank you.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, I watched your video for Don't Die on Me, and I was wondering which part of Japan was it filmed in?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a long story maybe to I made the song also like 3 years ago or something like that. And then it was just an instrumental version I just produced at my home. And that's all. And I just put the SoundCloud and reaction was good. But after that, when I decided to go to Japan and move to Japan, met with someone who wants to make a music video for me. And after that, I actually a little bit confused. It's too hard. Which song I'm gonna pick? Making a video clip. It's so hard for the for a producer. If I am rapper, maybe it could be more easily because you need to say something and you act something else. But after that, I decide to made "Don't Die on Me" music video. But the guy who I met when I'm in Shibuya, and they say me, maybe you can make a rap version of this song, and maybe it's more dope, you know, like maybe if you are making on the rap on the music video, it will be nice. And I talk with my friend, the other man, he's also like producer and MC right now, and I ask from him to can you record the rap for me, but we have only one day, so I need to make my video tomorrow. So he said, yeah, okay, let's go. And after that, I put the sound and voice together, and we went to going around Shibuya also.
Wow, that's impressive. So you managed to do the music for it in one day. How long did it take you guys to film the video?
It was like, actually, because of the, I said the long story, because at the same time, my other song it's called Nonsense, and I met also from the Japan oldies. Maybe some of the hip hop music listeners maybe know that there is a group called Still Ichimiya, and they living near Yamanashi Prefecture. I was trying to make also with this music video, but it's not released yet, and it took all 2 days. After that, I went to Yamanashi Prefecture, to Fuji Mountain, to take my other music video.
Wow, I'm very impressed. You made a full use of your trip to Japan.
Yes.
But that's so good because it makes your music seem very raw. Like all of a sudden you have like people who are like, yeah, this looks great. Like, why don't we just make a music video? It'll be great for you. I think that's how creative work happens. How would you describe your own music style?
Wow, that's a really good question to ask into producers. I can describe myself as a, because I listening hip-hop music when mm-hmm. I was childhood, but not like, how can I say, it's not like a gangster rap or too much political something. I'm not involved in it. I just going into another region when I listening to hip-hop music.
So I know that you describe your music as quite Japanese-inspired music, and listening to your entire SoundCloud, you can really tell that it is. Are there any Japanese musicians that you are inspired by?
Actually, yes. From my childhood also, about my Japanese life, I think it's starting from my childhood, because I grown up as a playing a video games when I child. Every child grown up like playing video games, the same as me. When I just heard something from the Atari through to my television, when I hear this some sounds from the Nintendo games or something like that, it really hypnotized me when I was a child. After that, I discovered so many things about Japan and Japanese stuff, and why they are living like that, and why we are different. What is the point of that? I start asking myself, and I making some research also, but it's not like that. It's maybe too much mystical and too deep inside of me, actually. When I high school, I listened to Nujabes.
Oh, yeah.
Nujabes always be my idol. Like, actually not idol. I just like his way. He's not evolving around something. He's creating own style. I'm not meaning about the musician, or it's like too deep for me. And music and artists, also the old composer who called Yamane Michiru, also she was my really inspiration about when I'm making music.
Wow, that's very impressive. I do agree that Nujabes is, now that you talk about it, I understand now where your inspiration comes from. That's very, very cool. So how did you get to Japan? Like, it was just last year, right? You went on the tour?
Yes, actually, it was my third time to being in Japan. The first of my Japan trip, it was maybe like 2013 or something like that. And I just grabbed my backpack and I finished the university. Then after that, yeah, I have to do it, yeah, by myself, not with any of my friends or any of my relatives. Just I need to go to live for this experience for myself.
Wow, very, very cool. So, a lot of your music is online. Is SoundCloud your favorite platform to release your music?
Yeah, actually, yes, I agree with that. For me, it was my first upload was in SoundCloud. So after that, I put my every songs in there. I actually tried YouTube and Spotify also, but Spotify right now deleted my account. I don't know why. Maybe I need to talk with them. As you can understand, I'm not going to into Spotify or Apple Music or Deezer. But some of the platform already put my music also to there. But I'm not looking on for Spotify on Apple Music.
Are there any next big projects that you'll be working on this year, 2019?
Well, I never think about that because about musical career for me, when I took my music videos and released that, after that, the life was really changeable for me and I had so many strong struggles about also some kind of troubles. Most of the artists who wants to work with me, and I can say yes, they are really insist to me into some pool or something like that, and they say, let's go, yeah, the 2019 will be our year, and let's go and make some tracks. Or they giving me some pushing also into the scene. But now let's see, yeah, the year has started now, and let's see what we're gonna do after that.
So, do you create music more for yourself or for like other people?
I'm doing my music on my bedroom, and I never used any kind of equipment, like not the MIDI controllers or drums or piano. I'm just using my keyboard and mouse. That's all.
Wow, I'm very impressed. That is a true independent artist, a bedroom artist. Yes, that is very true. Very cool. So the song that we'll be playing today is your song No Sense.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about No Sense. What is it about?
I made this song also like maybe 1 year ago. I made the song, but it was a naked, you know, there will be 2 weeks for me, and after that the No Sense is deserve better sounds and better quality music sounds, I mean. And after that I reproduced and I add some sounds also about some Japanese words from games, and I cut some samples from the some speech also, like Sayonara or I am the Dragon or something like that. And yeah, I finished the song. No Sense is really deep for me because I made a music video for this song also. When I around the Mount Fujisan, I took the music video also in the Aokigahara forest. Do you know that? The Aokigahara, I think.
Yeah, I do know. I'm aware of the forest.
But I was on my birthday when I'm taking this clip in the suicide forest. It was really hard to focus on my job because I was on my birthday and also I'm at the suicide forest. So it's really hard to making understanding for myself.
Why did you choose to film it at Aokigahara?
Actually, the old rapper group, as I said before, the Steel Ichimiya group is deciding to, yeah, you should take your music video in something special places, not like common places, or not like in front of konbini, or like not in front of the shrine. And they just read my mind about it, trying to make a difference. They really made a different video.
Interesting. But you are familiar with like how taboo Aokigahara is, right, in the Japanese community?
I actually didn't know about that before, and then I made some research also about it. And yes, it was a kind of shock when I read something about the Aokigahara and Jukai Cave. Also, you went through into the cave also. It's what was like a dark black, and we never see anything, but they prepared for the making a video.
Moving on to a lighter note, you like video games? Do you like anime?
Yes, exactly.
Tell me what are your favorite video games or anime?
Wow. You are asking two good questions, Ethel. So first, I was maybe too nostalgic for anime also. Like, I'm not so much modernistic anime. I don't like that. I can say my three or something like that, because what is the best is Basilisk and Shinsengumi Kitan. It's called Hakuoki, because I really like the Shinsengumi about the and samurai stuff, and I have also katana in my room. I like some kind of samurai spirits. Because of that, I'm always playing and watching like samurai-involved animes, like maybe Dragon Ball also. It's my favorite because I saw from my childhood in my television.
Very cool. Okay, so where can your new listeners on our show find your music?
I'm using too much Instagram accounts right now, and it's sometimes I'm not going put my songs in the SoundCloud, and I using the Instagram for it sometimes.
You can find Kufu-san's music on SoundCloud, Instagram, YouTube at Kufura. Yeah, there you go. Now you'll be listening to Kufura's song, No Sense. And that was Kufura with his song No Sense. Before we continue to the next interview with Avocado Boys, Eric is going to tell you how you can win a free 10,000 yen Japanese iTunes gift card. Take it away, Eric.
Do not skip this message because I'm about to tell you how you can win a 10,000 yen Japanese iTunes gift card. Yes, you heard me correctly. We are giving away one free 10,000 yen Japanese iTunes gift card. Now, that's approximately the value of $100, which will give you access to tons of J-pop and J-rock selections on the Japanese iTunes store, along with the Japanese Music Fund exclusively on Japan's Apple Music streaming service. All you have to do is visit our friends at Apartment 507 at apartment507.com and find our Japan Top 10 logo somewhere on their site. And trust me, guys, it's not hard to find. Then you just have to visit our website at jtop10.jp/contest and submit your entry of where you found our logo on their site. Or you can text us that information at 415-371-9299 along with your first and last name. And while you're on Apartment 507's website, why not use our discount code for 5% off your purchase? Use the code JTOP10 to get 5% off your order on their website. That's JTOP10 to get 5% off your order on their website. This contest is sponsored by Apartment 507 and will close on March 10th, 2019, and we will announce the winner on a Japan Top 10 episode shortly after. For full contest rules, visit our website at jtop10.jp.
Thanks, Eric. And now up next is a lovely band called Avocado Boys based from Nagoya, Japan. Today in this interview, I'm joined by Lena Huggett, their vocalist, and also their percussionist, Yu-san. By the way, when we're talking about crowdfunding in this episode, the band actually made about 336,000 yen, which is roughly $3,036. Hello, Lena and Yu-san. Hajimemashite. Okay. So today I have with me Avocado Boys, a band from Nagoya, Japan, who formed in 2017. The band is heavily influenced by jazz, hip-hop, and many other genres of music. And the group themselves wants to create a happy, uplifting music that highlights the universal feeling of joy. So they released their first mini album called Wake Me Up last year in 2018. And they did something very interesting. You guys actually started crowdfunding for your newest album. Is that right?
That's right. You have that information.
Yes, we do. We did our research. Of course we would. Yeah.
But unfortunately, you can't support us from abroad, right? You have to be in Japan.
What platform did you use to crowdfund for your new album?
Campfire.
Oh,
okay.
So if you want to support us, please come to Japan.
We will try. We will definitely try one day. So this is actually your second album, is that right?
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
Does it have a title that's coming up soon, or is it not released yet?
It's not released yet. It's a secret, isn't it? Really? We'll think about it.
Okay. What made you guys want to do a crowdfunded second album, actually, from compared to your first album?
Well, first of all, to be honest, we don't have much money.
That's okay. Indie artists. So, independent.
Yeah, we're independent. We're not really, we don't have a contract with any label or anything right now. Not yet.
We need the backup.
Yeah, so we need people to support us. Well, that's the first reason. And our first album was just we really whipped it up real quick. We wanted to get it out there and wanted people to hear our music. So it was we did it really quickly and with very little time and very little money. So this time we wanted to make it special and we wanted to take time with it. And you know, when you do that, you need a lot of money. So yeah. And also, it's just a great feeling to be able to create something with our fans and everybody. And they're all waiting for our second album. So it's going to be, we're really excited about it.
So how long did it take for you guys to reach your crowdfunding goal for the second album?
We've already reached it. Sanju Mayan, I don't know.
So 30,000 yen.
$3,000 or so.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, we were able to reach our goal pretty quickly in a couple of weeks. but we're still kind of short. Actually, we've calculated how much it's going to cost. So we reached our goal, but actually we have like a different goal now.
But I think it's still a pretty good start. You guys perform in a lot of interesting and intimate venues. What has been Avocado Boys' most favorite place to perform so far?
That is a difficult question. It's just so different. Each venue is, it's got its own vibe. Some venues are like really small and the people watching, the audience is just like, you know, right in front of me. Like I can like easily touch them. And that's fun because, you know, it feels like we're all having a good time together.
I totally understand what you mean. I think small, intimate venues always bring the artists much more closer to their fans as you also introduce their music much more easier to new people who've never heard their music before, right?
Right, yeah. It's a feeling that it's not just about the music, but it's just, you know, just having a good time and sharing it with everyone. But yeah, what about you, Sa? Yeah, last September we did a performance at this place called Tokuzo. It's probably one of the most famous venues in Nagoya.
Yeah.
So you on, not you, you, not Ethel, you, but
you said
it's confusing. You on percussion. He really liked performing at Tokuzo. That's really famous in Nagoya.
Do you guys primarily perform in Nagoya, or have you traveled outside to perform yet?
We're mostly based in Nagoya, but we have performed. Last year, we went to Tokyo and did a performance there.
Wow. How was that experience like? I'm pretty sure the audience in Nagoya and Tokyo might be quite different.
Yeah, exactly, Ethel. Exactly. Totally different.
What was it like, though?
Tokyo, well, I think it depends on where you are and everything. But when we performed, the people in Tokyo they really listened to our music very closely. And yeah, they were really there to listen to the music, it seemed like. But in Nagoya, people are a little bit goofier. And they like shout out our names and stuff. It was really interesting. It was totally different.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. Yeah, I mean, like you always hear like small town bands and then they go to the big city and you're like, whoa,
yeah,
it's so different here. So Avocado Boys is known for being more of a classy, sophisticated music group. Do you prefer listening to music electronically or the classic way on vinyl?
What do you mean the classic way?
Let me rephrase this question a little bit.
Okay,
I think. Sure. So as you are all known for being like a classy, sophisticated music group, apparently your fans actually think that you portray a more grown-up feeling of happiness that is not often heard of in mainstream music nowadays. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's a very difficult question, Ethel.
Yeah, to be honest, when I listened to your music, it was it's very eclectic and you can always tell like there were a variety of influences in your music. So I understand when your fans say or describe you as like classy or like adult sounding.
Yeah. So I think the adult sounding comes a lot with like my voice, maybe how I sing, and also a lot of our band members, their bass is from jazz. They're jazz musicians. Our member playing the saxophone, he's like totally a jazz guy. We have a new drummer now, but our old drummer, he was he played in our first album. He's a jazz drummer. The guy on the keyboard is a jazz keyboardist. Wow. So I think maybe people hear that in our music. Our percussionist, you, is based on, what are you based on? He listens to a lot of world music. Totally into
many kinds of music.
Yeah, so many different kinds, like Latin and salsa and
techno,
hip-hop, techno.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it's all mixed in our music, I think.
I think that's really good because it just shows how versatile Avocado Boys can be in terms of music genre. So you don't limit yourself to one single genre of music. You guys are very daring to explore beyond what people think of your style of music. Maybe some of your fans react in a way, or they think that your sound is, well, I would say special or extraordinary in a sense, because it just changes all the time.
Right, yeah. Like one of our songs in our first album, Sleeping 17, like that's totally a reggae kind of sound to it. And then the first song is like totally, it's jazz and hip-hop mixed together. Yeah. And I rap at the end. And it's all good fun.
Wow. So along that same vein of going on the whole music thing, what artist inspires Avocado Boys the most?
Well, I love Erykah Badu.
Oh.
I think she's amazing.
I like her. She's very
good. She's amazing. And when I saw her, well, just on YouTube, but when I saw a video of her, it was just like incredible. And I was just in awe of like, wow, she's like just totally gone beyond what music is, it felt like. So that's me.
What about you, Sun?
You, Sun.
Hi.
Who's your favorite artist?
Oh, I can't choose one.
Yeah, he always says that. He always can't choose. But do you know Perfume?
Yeah, of course. Really? I do. I've watched them live before. It's amazing. Oh,
They're so cute and amazing. And our bassist, he loves Perfume.
That's very cool.
Yeah, our guitarist loves John Mayer, and we're all a bunch of different people loving different kinds of music.
Yeah, but that's great because like you can hear it in your music that you create. I like the fact that everyone has like a different taste in music and they bring it to the band. I'm actually wondering like how all of you guys have like such unique taste in music. What brought you guys together?
Well, Yu Sun here on percussions and Sol Chan on percussion on saxophone. They were friends to begin with. Well, they were in a different band, and they were like, they got together and they said, let's do something cool. And they just brought a whole bunch of cool people like me and others. Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of people who kind of know each other, who have been doing music. We just got all together one day in 2017, and we played in a studio and we were like, okay, let's do this thing for real.
So there was like it was a very productive jam session.
Yeah. It totally was.
That's very cool. From your mini album Wake Me Up, what song do you think most represents Avocado Boys the most?
That's a very difficult question again. Well, For me, when we made the first album, I think the third song, Angels, that kind of represented us the most. Yeah, now we're kind of changing. We're always changing. I think music always changes. And I wouldn't really say that song describes us, what we're doing right now at the moment. But when we made the first album, I think the third song, Angels.
What does Angels mean, or what was it about?
It's about how sometimes just life is so hard, and it's kind of, can I say crappy?
That's not a bad word.
It's not a bad word. But, you know, you just have to kind of keep going at it and just think of good things and surround yourself with good things and good people and keep going.
So I'm just going to pick your brain for the last bit here. As an indie music artist, do you feel that the indie music scene is changing, has changed a lot in Japan over the last few years?
I would have to ask you, Sun, for that, because I'm not quite sure. It's kind of my first band. I've never been in a band before. I'm kind of new in the industry. What do you think, Yu-san? Indies のシーンって変わってきた？
変わってきたね。
どういうふうに？
でもやっぱシティポップが全盛だよね、今は。
ああ、そうなんだ。
去年から シティポップってでも日本特有のジャンルだね。
多分そうだと思う。So Yu-san saying that it totally has been changing, and right now what we hear a lot is this type called this genre called city pop.
Oh,
I think that's a Japanese genre. I don't think you hear it. Is there city pop in the States or?
They might have it. Maybe it's a similar sound. They probably call it a different name.
Right.
I don't really know.
There's a genre called city pop, and it's booming right now.
Okay, very interesting. I didn't know that. I thought city pop had been around for a little while.
It has. You're right, Ethel. It has. But it's kind of almost at the end of its peak, though.
Okay. So, is there any messages you would like to leave to your new listeners who will be listening to your song?
Please check us out. And like, feel free to, you know, follow us on Twitter, or if you find us on Instagram or Facebook or wherever. We're always like putting up new videos and new information and stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And please come to Japan.
So without further ado, this is Avocado Boys with Angels.
Twinkle, twinkle, little
And that was Avocado Boys with their song Angels. Find out more about their music or listen to more of their stuff on Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Up next on this interview are two more interviews by Rekka, where she'll be introducing you to Electronic Cole and Sugar Joico. But before we head on to all those lovely interviews, I want to let you know that you can actually advertise on our podcast, market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese culture podcasts out there, and reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp or email our sales manager Amanda at amanda@jtop10.jp to find out more about an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs. Take it away, Rekka! Japan Top
10! Hello, this is Rekka from Japan Top 10, sitting down virtually with Electra Nicole in Japan to talk about her amazing music. And as y'all may recall, she was featured on a recent Indie Spotlight back last year in 2018. Hello!
Hello, this is Electra Nicole. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so excited to talk to you about your music. You know, I'm a big lover of all kinds of Japanese technopop, past and present. So I really liked your track that we played last time and the track we're going to play at the end of our interview today.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be talking with you right now.
So tell us a little bit about your music and who your influences are, what your writing process is, things like that.
Sure. So I actually started, my history of writing music is kind of weird. I started when I was very young, when I would play video games, I would just sing random words to the background music. And that's kind of how I got into writing songs and improvising lyrics and thinking of different things to write about. When I was 13, I received a piano for my birthday, which was the best thing that could have possibly happened for my musical career, which I didn't know at the time that I would be pursuing a musical career, but I was able to teach myself some songs on the piano, and I was already able to read sheet music at the time, so it was easy for me to learn new songs and different techniques for the piano. So the first, I would say, official song that I wrote, I think I was 19, and yeah, it kind of just took off from there. So my musical writing process is really different for each song. Sometimes I'll think of a melody that I want to sing, and I'll build the background music around that melody. Sometimes I will write lyrics or a general idea of what I want the lyrics to be about, and then I'll come up with either the melody or the background music next, depending on if I already know what the feel of the song is going to be. And sometimes I just play around on the piano and I'm like, hey, that riff I just did was really cool. So I'll assign that to an instrument and that will be part of the background music. And then after that, I'll add maybe the vocal melody and lyrics. It changes for each song, but all of the songs that I've released so far, lyrics were the last thing that I wrote. And it's really funny because I kind of set a deadline for myself so that way I can get motivated to finish what I'm working on. And I always spend most of that time working on the background music. And I usually finish writing the lyrics like 20 minutes before I record. It's an interesting process.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I always like to get a little glimpse behind the scenes at how people create the great music they do.
Oh, thank you. You think my music is great. I'm so happy. So people that I draw influences from, definitely Nakata Yasutaka, which is one of the biggest producers in Japan right now. I'm really inspired by his works on Capsule, which is his own project, and also Perfume, which is the big technopop trio of girls in Japan. He is their producer. He also produces Kyari Pamyu Pamyu. And I like a lot of the things that he does with his techno music. He is like techno, but it also pulls influences from other genres, which is something that I think is amazing because you can still be techno, but not pigeonhole yourself into one stereotypical subset of techno. It's very obvious if you listen to his music that he has a real complex musical background with the chord progressions that he does and the chords and music theory and the way he's able to, he even arranges his own music. It's just amazing. Listening to his music always cheers me up, even if it's not necessarily a cheerful song. It's inspiring to listen to his music. So That's where I got a lot of my inspiration.
That's great. You know, I had a similar experience. I used to have a really terrible job, and when I had to work late, I would just listen to lots of Perfume and Kyari Pamyu Pamyu, and it really like lifted my mood and helped me get through the day.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I totally got that influence in your song Digital World that I listened to. I just kept thinking Perfume and Capsule the whole time I was listening to it.
You have no idea how happy I am to hear that. Yeah, one of the reasons why I do want to pursue music is because music has helped me in so many ways. Like how you were saying, when you have a bad day or something's going on, you can kind of just throw on your headphones and listen to a good song. For me, I would either do that or sit at my piano and just play around or play with some songs, try new instruments on classical music, maybe throw a saxophone in there. And it would always improve my mood. Music is something that it doesn't really matter what language the lyrics are in. It can have such a profound effect on your mood and your mental state that that's something that I kind of want to do for other people, is to bring them the same positive experiences that I've had by listening through music.
That's great. It's always nice to hear when somebody's motivation isn't, I want to be famous or I want to make a lot of money or something like that.
Yeah.
So what are you working on for the future right now? Any upcoming songs, albums, projects?
Yes, I'm actually working on my third single right now. And it's kind of a different subgenre of technopop. It's one that's more, I would say, more modern. I've kind of been like playing around with disco. If you remember, Muden Na Girl has a lot of disco bass lines. This one, I kind of tried to see if it was even possible for me to create something that sounded like what's currently being played on the radio, even though that's not necessarily a genre that I'm in love with. I was kind of just experimenting, and that's a lot of what I'm doing right now, is just experimenting and seeing what kind of sounds I can create and what types of subgenres I'm capable of mixing into my image. So look forward to another more modern dance song for my next
Awesome. Thing. And as far as, you know, possible future events that might happen, who is your dream artist to collaborate with in J-pop or elsewhere in the world?
Oh, definitely Nakata Yasutaka. Again, it would be a dream come true to work with him or even have him produce one of my songs. I think that would be like my lifelong dream. And by lifelong, I mean like from when I discovered Perfume and discovered Capsule and that he was the producer. So by lifelong, I mean maybe around like 10 years. My 10-year cool. long dream, and will continue into the future.
Awesome. So when you're writing your lyrics, is it a process where you think of them first in English or maybe first in Japanese, or is there some kind of hybrid process going on? How does that work?
It's definitely a hybrid process. So I'm in Japan right now, so I don't have a car. I kind of take the train or the bus anywhere. But when I was in America, I would be driving, and that would be my main time to kind of play around with singing. So sometimes I would just say random gibberish and make lines that rhymed. And I would end up, if I got used to singing that, I would end up trying to make lyrics that kind of fit that mold into that rhyme or the cadence or the sound of a verse or a chorus. But sometimes if I'm having writer's block, I will just sit down and I'll write some kind of verse in English and see if I can translate into Japanese just to kind of get my mind going, because writer's block is definitely a thing.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So going back to when you were younger, when you were first starting out on your musical journey, if you could give any advice to your younger self as a musician, what would it be?
I would definitely say get serious with it. Probably download a DAW, which is a digital audio workstation, which is what I currently use to create my music, and kind of just play around in it. You already play around on the piano. Why not put that into a computer where you can do so much more with it? And practice singing. Definitely practice singing. Start taking vocal lessons right now. Yes, those would be my advice.
Practice
to
makes
younger
perfect.
Me.
So when you're working on your music, do you have like a keyboard hooked up to your digital workstation, or do you use any analog instruments?
So I used to have two different pianos or piano keyboards. One was a standalone Yamaha keyboard that you could record your own songs, but those songs you recorded could only have up to 5 parts. So sometimes I would play around on that and kind of make songs that had only five parts, but that I was eventually going to add more parts to. Sometimes I would use my MIDI controller, which is also another piano. I think it's the 47 or 46 key piano, but it only works if you connect it to a computer and use a digital audio workstation. So sometimes I'll use that and I'll play around with it on my computer with all the different sounds that I can have and see what I come up with. And sometimes I just use a mouse and the actual typing keyboard that's connected to my laptop and kind of just click and drag notes and kind of play around with the length of the notes and see what kind of syncopation I can make and arpeggios and see how that sounds, maybe add some drums to it. So there are a lot of different processes that I have. It's kind of just what I feel like doing at the time and whatever that blossoms into.
Interesting. And I know we talked a little about this before when you were talking about branching out into different genres, working with different instruments and styles, but what are some things you'd like to experiment with in the future?
So recently, something I've noticed that I do is I have a lot of virtual instrument libraries. So sometimes I'll go through them and listen to some of the sounds and see how I can incorporate that into songs. But I notice that I'll pass a song that or a sound that maybe sounds harsh or sounds strange or unorthodox, and I'll go, oh, I'm never going to use that sound. But I'm thinking that I kind of want to see how I can incorporate that sound into a normal song and make it sound like it's part of the composition. Yeah, another step of my whole experimenting that I'm doing right now. Also, I'm recently interested in bossa nova. So
oh, awesome.
Adding some more like romantic acoustic guitar, but still having it be like a technopop version of bossa nova is something that I'm 100% interested in doing right now.
That sounds really cool. That sounds almost like veering into kind of Shibuya K territory.
Yeah.
So are you at the stage where you're touring yet, doing concerts, doing street performances, anything of that variety?
Not yet, at least not in Japan. I haven't done any live performances of my own personal songs, but when I was in America, a friend of mine in New York was like, hey, we're all fans of Perfume, and he plays saxophone. He has a band that does covers of different J-pop songs, but jazz versions. And he said, we're doing a show that we're going to do a whole bunch of Perfume covers. And I dance to Perfume songs. So I learned the choreography for their songs.
Wow. You know what? I do too. That's amazing.
Do you?
Yeah, that's also amazing. My hobby.
Whose choreography do you learn?
Usually Nochi, because she's
my
favorite.
Oh, me too. She's my favorite.
This is the craziest coincidence, but I'm sorry to interrupt your story.
Yes, I always learn Nochi's part, and I think I know maybe 38 of their dances right now.
Wow.
He was like, yeah, we're doing a show. It would be awesome if you could come, because I actually met him when we were waiting in line for the Perfume concert in New York, and I was just dancing, and he was also just playing the saxophone. So that's how. And I was able to dance, I believe, three or four songs I danced with them, and it was broadcast on a local network in New York and also online for other Perfume fans to watch. And it was such a fun experience. It was my first live in front of an audience and they're paying attention. Like they're there just to see me and the people that I'm performing with. And it was amazing. It kind of reinforced my love for performing. Like, yeah, this is something that I actually love doing. And it was a great experience.
That's awesome. So you've been bit by the live performance bug and now you want to do more.
For sure.
Awesome. So what do you feel are the differences between working in the US versus working in Japan as a musician, if you've noticed any?
Nothing that I have experienced personally, but I do know in America, I think it is easier, in a sense, to become a famous singer because you can do things like just upload videos on YouTube. And if you're good, people will watch you. You can network with social media and all of that. But it's a little bit different in Japan, although I'm sure that some people have gone that route. It's more of you have to be part of a talent agency. And that talent agency will market you. And agencies in Japan are different than in America. I would say American agencies are kind of like you hire the agent to work for you. Whereas in Japan, you are working for the agency. So they pay you, I think, a salary. I can't speak too much on the logistics of it, but you are working for this company. And it's harder for you to leave and go to a different company than it would be in America, where you could just say, you're not doing a good job. I'm going to go find somewhere else. that's definitely something that I've been thinking about because I'm currently not under a talent agency, but I would like to be very soon. So I'm kind of looking around at the different options and examining what companies do what. And you can really tell by looking at their list of artists and seeing how those artists are marketed or how their music videos look or what kind of image they're portraying. And that's a good indicator of what that talent agency is able to do with their artists. So I think that's one. I think that's the biggest difference between Japan and the U.S.
Cool. Well, we're about to listen to your awesome song, Digital World, here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Digital World is, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but it's my favorite song that I've made so far.
Awesome.
Every time I listen to it, it really just cheers me up. This latest single, Muden Na Girl, is kind of me trying to portray the image, my technology image, because I have a background. I majored in software engineering, and I'm really into technology and programming and video games. Listening to Digital World more and more, it's funny I didn't notice this when I was writing it, but there are a lot of sounds in the song that remind me of like Sonic the Hedgehog, the original Sonic the Hedgehog game. And I didn't notice until recently, and I was listening to it, I was like, holy cow, this sounds like Green Hill Zone or something.
Awesome.
But yeah, the lyrics and the context of the song are about being in this world that everything is digital. The walls, the ground, the grass, the birds, the flowers are all artificial and made of some kind of algorithm, and everything is too perfect. And you kind of getting tired of being in this world that's too perfect and too predictable and wanting to adventure and looking up at the sky and noticing that something doesn't seem right because the sky is actually just a screen that's projecting this image of a sky. And you kind of want to see what's beyond that screen. That's the general
cool.
gist of Digital World.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. And I hope our listeners love this song as much as you do. Thank you.
I hope so too. Thank you so much for having me.
しか届けない。ああ、慌てる世界と自然な視界流れてる電気感じられる。咲いてる花も。
Well, I really hope that y'all enjoyed my interview with Electra Nicole and her amazing song. And if you are making awesome indie music just like Nicole and the other artists we have featured this episode, get in touch with us. We would love to play your song on the podcast. You can email me, Rekka, R-E-C-C-A, jtop10.jp, along with the song you'd like us to feature. We'll give it a listen, and if we like it, we'll play it on the podcast in our indie spotlight, and then maybe you will get a chance to be interviewed like the amazing artists on this episode. Also, I really hope that y'all are enjoying this very special Japan Top 10 Cultures episode. We are planning more episodes like this, but we really, really, really want your feedback. Do you like these episodes? Do you hate them? Let us know! You can contact us through our website, and once again, that's jtop10.jp. I'm sitting down with Sugar Joiko here in the virtual Japan Top 10 interview room, so please enjoy the interview. It is so exciting to talk to a fellow Texan on this podcast, something I thought I would never be able to do. In the small world of Japanese and Japanese-inspired indie musicians, there is not a ton from Texas, but I hope that you'll inspire many more in the future.
That'd be amazing.
First of all, I have got to ask you about your amazing experience being on Notojimon on TV in Japan. What was that like?
Oh, it was super fun. I met such incredible people from all around the world. The staff was amazing. And I still keep in touch with a lot of the other contestants, but it was just an amazing experience altogether.
And I saw your video where you were collaborating with one of the other musicians backstage doing a little quick cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was a delight. The Lady Gaga cover. Oh, yeah. He was so fun. The experience was great. You know, they flew us out there for free.
Wow.
Yeah. Flight and lodging and everything. And it was just really incredible. And I have a lot of, some pen pals that I've had for many years that I'm still very close friends with today. So it was a great opportunity to, one, you know, be on national television in Japan, but also to have an opportunity to go see a lot of my friends. I have not been back to Japan in a while, but it's definitely on my to-do list. I miss the country very much. I used to go every summer, and now it's just kind of been the hustle and bustle here.
Well, I hope that your future tours will take you there and that you'll get to maybe do some amazing collaborations in the future.
Absolutely. I name it and claim it. I name it and claim it, darling.
Awesome. So, you know, your song that we're going to play later is a cover of a Utada and Skrillex collaboration.
Yes.
I've been seeing some more collaborations between Japanese and Western artists lately, and I really hope that we'll see more. What are your thoughts on those?
I hope more. I mean, it's so outdated as far as like J-pop kind of coming into like the mainstream of like American music. Like, I'm very proud of K-pop, like BTS and different things like that, that they've kind of made it over. But I'm really hoping that more Japanese artists can make it over here rather than just being connected to like anime or video games. But I really think people would dig it, you know, especially now that mainstream, in my opinion, is very electronic. A lot of J-pop tendencies, but, you know, hey, who knows? But I think that it'd be incredible, and I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, for sure. It would be great to see more. Is there a particular Japanese artist that you would like to collaborate with, just assuming that could magically happen?
Well, first of all, Utada Hikaru, she's my queen. I'm more on the old school ladies, like Utada Hikaru is like one of my all-time favorite. I'm also a huge fan of Amuro Namie. To do anything with her would be amazing. I really liked Kota Kumi. She did, I think it was like Final Fantasy X-2, that she was basically a part of that soundtrack, which is probably one of my favorite soundtracks of all video games. But yeah, there's several artists, but hands down, Utada Hikaru would like be a dream come true. Like, that's my number one.
Yeah, I was really happy to see her sort of come out of her hiatus like a couple of years ago and start just putting out more amazing music.
Yeah, it's always good to hear from her. I know she's a mom now, and you know, anything she touches turns to gold. So I'm always excited for whatever she releases.
Oh, absolutely. So you are about to go on a tour, or you've already started a tour recently?
No, I'm working on one. Right now I'm working on my next project. So as soon as I get this album done, I would love to do perhaps a regional tour. I'm originally from New Orleans, so it'd be great to kind of like tie in New Orleans and then like most of the major cities of Texas and branch out there. Last year, we made it out to California, to San Diego, which was really cool. But I'm just itching to get back over the road again as soon as possible. It's really incredible. Preferably across seas, though. If I could get to Japan, man, or bring my band. I mean, it's obviously very expensive, but man, if I can get my band to Japan, dude, we just stay there until like we sell enough merch to make it back home.
Yeah, for sure.
I would totally do it that way.
So when you're writing your original songs, which I should tell our listeners, you've branched out a little from your background of doing J-pop covers and have written some amazing original songs.
But when you're
writing, what is your process? Do you usually do music first, lyrics first?
100% music first. Surprisingly, people find this strange, you know, like I'm a singer, but I actually didn't start singing until like much later in my life, like probably like 18, 19 years old. I used to be extremely like shy as far as like stage fright. I'm a musician 100%, so I've been playing piano since I was 8. So anything that comes to me creatively always starts at the music first. Like I kind of create the song, really the song creates itself. And then based off the feeling that I get from the song or the vibe or the aesthetic of what's going on, then that inspires the lyrics. And then I just kind of plug in the lyrics from there. So to answer your question, definitely music first.
Awesome. And you're quite a multi-talented instrumentalist. I've seen you playing guitar in your videos and a million other things.
Yeah, I just want to pick up everything I could possibly do. Right now, I'm kind of learning guitar, but my fingers, they just kind of won't cooperate with me. I play bass, but I want to actually get guitar because it's so much easier to bring with you. Like you can bring a guitar on an airplane as like a carry-on item. And like keyboards and pianos, it's just, you can't even collect them very much. Like, well, I collect guitars, but keyboards and piano, that's kind of tough. Meanwhile, guitarists, they have like 12 guitars on their walls, like just collecting for days. So I want to get into that realm, and it just be really dope to add another instrument to my collection.
So of all these instruments that you've played, is there anything weird or offbeat that you'd like to experiment with in the future? If you could like just magically learn and play any instrument, what would it be?
You know what? I need to find out what it's called. It's a country instrument. Like, it kind of like they kind of like slide. What is it?
Lap steel?
Yes. I think those things sound incredible. I would love to learn how to play one of those. That would be super cool.
Yeah, it definitely has a very unique sound to it.
Yeah, I would love to learn how to play a lap steel guitar. It looks like it would be a little easier too, because, you know, since it's laying in your lap and you can kind of see the grid, it reminds me more so of piano, you know, like the guitar playing it kind of, you know, not from the side, but you play it forward basically. But the lap steel kind of it laid down in front of me. I feel like I'd probably catch on to it really quick.
Cool.
So yeah, I want to do that.
So when you are getting ready for your performances, like what you're doing tonight, do you have any rituals? Do you have any like things you typically do before you perform?
Yes, I get a coffee and I put a shot of Fireball and a shot of Bailey's, girlfriend. And
that sounds awesome.
It's delicious. It is absolutely scrumptious and it gets the vocal cords a little warm. You get some energy and, you know, I drink lots of water and I just kind of get, you know, the crowd always pumps me up. So it's like, you know, people love music and people always show that they, you know, they enjoy you and they appreciate you. And usually that's all the hype that I need to just kind of like push forward and have fun. You know, I always make it fun when I'm on stage.
Cool. Going back to that, when was your first concert as a singer and what were your feelings and what was going on when that happened?
Oh, my. I was but a babe in college. I think it was at this venue in Houston called the Comfort Lounge, right? It was in Chinatown. I'm pretty sure they meant to say Comfort Lounge, but it was C-O-N for Lounge, but it was too late. They already had the sign made and everything. It was a great show. I did lots of covers. At that point, I think I might have had maybe two originals. Very nerve-wracking, obviously. very shy, but you know, mid set, you kind of, you know, you get a little used to it and the nerves kind of go away. It was a great show and, you know, a lot of lessons learned from that. But it was definitely a good experience. I mean, since then, it's just kind of been pushing to get better and better. Each show I feel like gets better and each show is a new learning experience. So yeah, that was my first show. I think I was in college, TA for Japanese, actually, at the University of Houston. So got a lot of my, you know, a lot of my students came out, which was really cool. But yeah, it was a great experience.
Did that change their perception of you? Were they like, hey, that's the cool teacher?
I hope so. I mean, a lot of them were still friends today. So, I mean, I respected that, you know, they respected me and they looked up to me and they were good kids. You know, I mean, we were all pretty much around the same age. I kind of got into it a little early because I was like just obsessed with learning the Japanese language. And I picked it up fairly quickly. Yeah, they were all cool. They enjoyed it a lot, which made me really happy.
That's awesome. So having sort of worked on both sides of the Pacific here a little, what do you think are like the main differences between the music scenes here versus in Japan?
100% in Japan, I feel that the Japanese are a lot more supportive. Unfortunately, about America, since I believe that we kind of run mainstream pop music, if you will, as far as music around the world, I feel like America is where it's at in some cases. But because of that, I feel like Americans are very spoiled. Like if it's not popular, they kind of won't give it a chance and really appreciate it. But in Japan, it's like if you're good and, you know, if they love what you're doing, they're very supportive, you know, and they're very inquisitive and they're interested and curious in you. And I think that the Japanese culture 100%, you know, respects anyone that just gives their all in what they do. So I think the levels of support is slightly different. 100%.
Yeah, having talked to another artist recently who's actually working as an indie musician in Japan, I was really surprised to hear like the level of support that the agencies there give you. It's almost like working for a company, and it was really surprising to me to hear that.
Well, that's amazing. And I'm actually starting to hear more often that a lot of other countries, like being a musician is an actual career. Here in America, they don't really see it that way because it's kind of like, you know, the music industry here, I feel like they more so try to pimp you. You know what I mean? Like, how much money can we get off of you rather than how much money can we all make together kind of thing? I feel that America is a bit judgmental and they kind of shun you or just kind of like lose faith in you if you do something outside of that box, which is really sad. And I believe that our music industry is suffering for it, even though I think we're coming out with incredible movies and music. But if you listen and pay attention, everything is just kind of regurgitated from previous ideas. I don't think that we're getting a lot of new creativity brought to our industry. And I think that 100% has a lot to do with discouragement, I guess you can say. I think that people kind of discourage those who want to take a creative path. Whereas in countries like Japan, if you're a musician, you can actually support a family, you know?
There really is this kind of starving artist perception. Like people will be like, oh, that's not a real job.
Yeah. And it's sad. If you are creative and if you are like blessed with a gift, only you can do this. Like this is something that can't be, you know, replicated or copied by everyone. You know what I mean? Like it's not something that can be taught. Like, you know, some things musically or creatively can be taught, but when it comes to a gift, that's just something that I might be a little harsh, but I feel like you're just either born with it or not. You know what I mean? And just kind of like, it sucks that there's so many people that are just born with so much talent and so much gift and just such blessing. And it's like, they're not even given the opportunities that they deserve, or they're not given the exposure that they need to get more successful. You know what I mean? And anything you do with that, they do it for free. Like, you know, okay, you're a musician. Well, yeah, you can perform at our event. We don't want to pay you, but hey, you want to perform in front of people, right? Isn't that why you're doing it? And I'm like, well, yeah, but still, like a lot of people have mouths to feed, children and different things like that. And it's like, they feel that the reason why we're doing it is to be seen or for people to hear our music. But it's like, that is part of it, but we can't be seen if we can't make a living. Like I can go on tour right now, but if I don't have like X amount of money to pay for travel, for hotel, for gas, for booking the venue, for paying the musicians, like I can't do what I'm trying to do to play my music and get heard. And it's just tough to really get out there. You know, it's tough to get views. It's tough to get followers. And what's scary is there's a lot of scammers doing all of that. Like, hey, we'll get you new followers. They'll take your money and like not do anything for you. There's so many people just pimping the dream here in America. But enough about America. I want to go to Japan. where they'll love me. They'll love me.
Going back to when you were in school, when you were just a kid in band.
Yeah.
Go back in time and give yourself mm-hmm. some advice. Any advice about your musical career, what would it be?
It would be probably practice more, to be honest. To work harder at my craft and not, you know, not necessarily not be social. But, you know, when you're a kid, you want to be popular and do everything all the other kids are doing. But, man, if we made, like, investing in ourselves, like, popular, I feel like the human race would just be so dope, like so amazing. But, you know, we're always trying to keep up with, you know, society standards and the trend and different things like that. I really wish I invested a little bit more in myself as far as my craft and my musicianship. And, you know, who knows where I could probably be today. I wouldn't take anything back at all from my childhood. I'm still enjoying the journey as I continue to mold and, you know, improve myself. But yeah, if I would have like buckled down and like practiced and really invested in myself, dude, I'd be like a freaking guru right now. Like, dude, I mean, I just can't even imagine. But I mean, I'm still having fun. And anyone that I meet, like, especially like kids, like I love like motivating children. That's the first thing I tell them, like practice. Like you think it's not cool now, but when you're in high school, you're going to be a total badass. Like, trust me, trust me, you know, and some get it, some don't. But if they do, like, I think they'll be appreciative that I told them that.
So moving on to this song, this amazing cover you've sent us, which is this going to be the premiere of it?
Yes. This is the first time I'm airing it or even presenting it to the world. I'll be basically recording the video today. So I should have the video posted on YouTube on Monday, but it should post on SoundCloud soon after we get off this interview.
Awesome. So here is your Japan Top 10 world premiere of an amazing cover by Sugar Joico of Face My Fears by Tadahikaru and Skrillex. Can you tell us about this cover?
Yes. So I basically, you know, if you follow most of my Japanese covers, I like to, you know, I'm a producer. So I love to kind of create my own like reinterpretation of songs. So in this one, and including my new album that I'm working on, I've been basically implementing more kind of retro and synthy stuff. So I've actually used the guitar to produce a lot of this track. In the bridge, there's some funky vocals going on, also coming out of the vocoder for my guitar. So I'm really excited to kind of add in some little, you know, more electronic instrumentation to things. So it was a really cool track. And I'm always excited to do anything that Utada touches because I just have fun with everything that she does. Her melodies and her vocals, like her background harmonies are always my favorite. Yeah. So it was a very fun project to work on. So I'm really excited to present it to Zawerdo.
It's amazing. And I love your covers always do something different. It's not just like a karaoke version or something. It's there's so much like thought and work that goes into these.
Yeah, I like to have fun. It's good. It's just fun to be creative. And normally when I do this, it usually spins off into like a new original. Like this song, by it being, you know, slightly different, I can easily just kind of like do some tweaks to it and it's a completely different song and I can use it. Yay. Yeah. So I'm very excited to present it to you and thank you very much for allowing me to showcase it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. And I really hope that our listeners enjoy your song. Is there any shout outs you want to give for your website, social media?
Heck yeah. Guys, please shoot me a follow on Instagram at SugarJoico, SugarJoico. You can also find me at SugarJoico.com. Follow me, support me. I've got some new projects coming up soon and more covers. This year, I'm going to be dumping as many covers as I can on the internet. So awesome. I'm excited.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. I really hope that y'all enjoyed that awesome song by Texas's own Sugar Joico and all of the other interviews that we featured on this episode. Ethel and I really had a fantastic time recording and hearing what these artists had to say about their music careers. If you like this episode, again, give us your feedback. We would love to do more of these interviews and J-Top 10 Cultures episodes in general. And for now, this is goodbye from Rekka. See you next time.
Japan Top.